This is Cecil Metzger, Public Relations Manager for Norden Laboratories. All of us at Norden are very proud of a new feline distemper vaccine our scientists have developed, and pleased that the famous Marlon Perkins is helping us introduce this new vaccine to you. Marlon and two of our top research scientists will tell you more about the vaccine in a few moments, but now I'd like to tell you a little about Marlon. Marlon Perkins is undoubtedly the world's most famous zoologist. He's been on television probably longer than anyone else, even longer than Ed Sullivan, because Marlon started on experimental television in Chicago in 1945 and later with a very popular program called Zoo Parade. Zoo Parade was very quickly moved on to network television and evolved into Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, which is still going strong Sunday evenings on NBC TV. Marlon, of course, is also a very famous zoo director. He's been director of the Lincoln Park Zoo in Chicago and is now top man at the St. Louis Zoo. So with that introduction, welcome to Norden Laboratories, Marlon.
Well, Cece, it's wonderful to be here. And I must say, as I've had a personally conducted tour today through this new building, I have never seen such a beautiful and clean and well-equipped laboratory in my life. You must have the finest laboratories of their kind in the world.
Marlon, we thank you for saying so, and we're certainly pleased that you could be here with us. Can you tell us a little of your background and how you happened to get interested in zoology?
Well, Cece, you know, as a little boy, I used to catch mice and garter snakes and all kinds of things. And then I went to the University of Missouri, where I studied zoology.
They tell me your very first job was at the St. Louis Zoo.
Yeah, I got a job under George Verheller, the first zoo director, who put me to work in the bull gang, sweeping sidewalks and cutting grass. But it wasn't long before I was transferred to the animal department, and then in a few months I became their first curator of reptiles.
Marlon, as you know, the virus for our new feline distemper vaccine was isolated from a snow leopard. What kind of an animal is a snow leopard?
I think the snow leopard is the most beautiful of all the cats. It's of course a big cat. It's about the size of a regular leopard, but it has extremely long hair because it comes from cold country, and it's pale in color and has some spots. But to me, the most distinctive thing about it is its perfectly gorgeous, long, fluffy tail.
Is it a relatively rare animal?
Yes, the snow leopard is rare because it comes from some pretty inaccessible parts of the world, high in the Himalayan mountains and in inaccessible parts of Asia north of there.
Do American zoos have the snow leopard?
Well, they didn't for a long time, but in the last few years there have been some brought in, and a number of American zoos now have them. And there are several pairs of breeding leopards in zoos in this country.
I know that one time you went to snow leopard country, the mountains of Tibet, with a famous Sir Edmund Hillary expedition, and that you were there to investigate the legend of the abominable snowman. What was your official job on that expedition?
Well, I had charge of that section of the expedition, which was investigating the abominable snowman. There were quite a few of us. I wasn't the only zoologist on that expedition. There were several others. But we made it our job to go into this high country and try to run down the facts of old Yeti, Mr. Abominable Snowman.
This snowman, or Yeti, what sort of a creature was he supposed to be?
Well, he's supposed to be a huge hominid, man-like animal. Some thought he might be as a yet undiscovered species of anthropoid ape that live in these high mountains, or he might have really been a pre-human hominid that was wandering around in this cold country. He was covered with long hair, and he had a pointed head that went right up to a peak. He was supposed to be a very dangerous creature. He was seldom seen, more often heard. He left his foot tracks in those mountains all over the high snow country of the Himalayas. At least that's the story everyone tells about him.
What did you decide? Is there really such a thing as the abominable snowman?
I don't think there is any anthropoid ape as yet undiscovered or any hominid living in those high Himalayan mountains that people call the abominable snowman.
Then how do you explain the sounds that the natives heard?
Well, that's the one thing we just couldn't work out. I have my own theory, though. We had a breeding pair of snow leopards at the Lincoln Park Zoo in Chicago when I was director there. We also have a breeding pair in the St. Louis Zoo, where I'm now the director. One time we separated the male from the female, and she called to the male in a high chattering sound that I've never heard a cat make before. I have a feeling from the description of all the sounds that they tell us about the Yeti that it really is a snow leopard looking for a mate.
How about the snowman's tracks? If a snowman didn't make them, what did?
Well, I think those tracks were made by a fox or a wolf or a snow leopard or a human being or almost anything else that broke the snow. And then, with a receding snow line at high elevations like 18,000, 19,000 feet, those oblate into all kinds of peculiar shapes and patterns. Some of them look like they could have been made by an abominable snowman because they're almost human. And yet when you compare them with a human foot track, they're not like that. And you compare them with a gorilla, an orangutan, a chimpanzee, they're not like those. And so they're an ablated thing that is made by the whim of a receding snow line at high elevation from the heat of the sun.
That's fascinating. This snow leopard really gets around. He's contributed to the legend of the abominable snowman, and now has helped veterinary medicine by contributing the virus for a new feline distemper vaccine. Marlin, thank you so much for filling us in on the snow leopard and the abominable snowman. Now let's turn this record over and hear all about Felocine, our new feline distemper vaccine.
Hello, this is Marlin Perkins. As a zoologist, I'm naturally interested in the welfare of animals. That's one reason I was pleased when Norden Laboratories asked me to take part in this discussion about a new vaccine that promises to help our nation's cat population. There are over 26 million cats in America today, and every cat that isn't vaccinated is susceptible to distemper. So we're going to talk about distemper. And to start, I'd like to ask you to hear this. As a veterinarian, you know what that cat's meow was all about. Tabby just received an old-style killed tissue feline distemper vaccine, a product still widely in use today. It got quite a reaction. Now listen to this. That was the sound of a cat receiving a remarkable new feline distemper vaccine, new Felocine from Norden. There was no reaction and no pain or irritation at the injection site. How can this happen? Let's ask Dr. Albert L. Brown, Norden's Director of Biological Research, and Dr. Eldon Davis, scientist in charge of all Norden research on feline diseases. Dr. Davis, what makes Felocine so different?
Well, Marlin, our new Felocine is a highly refined liquid, a tissue culture product, one that simply does not cause the stinging and lump formation that the old killed tissue vaccines do. But taking the cat's meow out of feline distemper vaccinations is really just a small part of the Felocine story.
That's right. Felocine has many unique advantages. It will produce an immune response with a single 1 cc dose, administered just once. It is given subcutaneously, has good syringeability, has no systemic problems, and no pain or injection site irritations. We've tested it, licensed it, and Felicine is now ready for veterinary use.
Well, from what I've seen, you people never stop testing your products.
That's about right, Marlin. With Felicine, we have a dual method for standardizing the vaccine. We're the only manufacturer to have both a virus count and a potency test for feline distemper vaccine.
Dr. Davis, tell us about the virus.
It was isolated from a moribund snow leopard.
Well, how in the world did you ever get hold of a snow leopard?
The leopard was in the Bristol, England Zoo. The zoo director diagnosed feline distemper. Then Dr. Johnson of the University of Bristol isolated the virus and saved it. We got it from Dr. Johnson.
I'd say that's a good example of zoo research helping veterinary research.
It sure is. We were certainly glad to get it. It is considered to be a prototype of a new classification in the overall virus system. It is highly infectious and a marvelous antigen, probably the very finest antigen that I've ever worked with.
What do other experts say about your antigen?
We consulted with several authorities. They like it because it affects all types of cats, exotic as well as domestic.
You mean lions, tigers, leopards, and all those? We have a lot of them at our St. Louis Zoo.
Well, we've had limited experience with the big cats, Marlin, but there's no reason why Felicine couldn't be used. You might want to double the dose for a lion, however.
Yes, I imagine you would. Dr. Davis, is Felicine convenient to administer?
It is very convenient. Most competing vaccines have to be administered twice, and they require 2 cc doses each time. Felicine requires only 1 cc dose, and one shot does it for a full year.
Can Felicine be administered to cats of any age?
From 4-day-old kittens on up, Marlin, even to pregnant cats. Felicine is absolutely safe. We have concentrated it, dialyzed it against a media, and then put this back into tissue culture. We've never seen any type of virus activity. The virus itself is inactivated, yet it retains its antigenicity.
Dr. Brown, will you sum up your feelings about Felicine?
Marlin, I believe Felicine is going to be a fine product for the small animal practitioner. Dr. Davis has developed methods for growing this virus to an unprecedented titer in tissue culture. And again, it has those unique advantages. A 1 cc dose, one time. No pain, no systemic problems, good syringeability, and is administered subcutaneously.
How about telling our veterinarian friends about some of your interesting feline research findings?
During our research, Dr. Davis discovered toxoplasmosis in tissue culture, a disease that is common in cats, but which had not been recognized as a source of tissue culture contamination before. Dr. Davis is heading a research team working exclusively on feline diseases. Currently, they are working on feline rhinotracheitis, and shortly will begin working on combination vaccines for cats. Actually, Felicine is the first of a whole family of new feline vaccines. And that's something we at Norden Laboratories think is long overdue. Because, as we all know, cats have been neglected, mostly by their owners. And it's a sort of a paradox, because cat owners are generally more particular about their pets than our dog owners.
Thank you, Drs. Brown and Davis. That's it, friends. The story of Felicine, the new feline distemper vaccine from Norden that takes the out of feline distemper vaccinations.